my dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help, and ask you to turn with me to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, and at verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Read the Word of God. You will soon discover this, these three features. Firstly, that God has separated the human race into two peoples. There are those whom he has chosen before the foundation of the world, predestinated, and in time they are called by grace, and they are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are turned by himself from walking in the ways of the world and the ways of sin to walk in the ways of God, the ways of righteousness. And secondly, we shall see this, that there are two pathways. There is the pathway along which the righteous walk, the pathway along which the ungodly walk. The Lord Jesus in his ministry sets this forth very clearly in his ministry when he was here in this earth. And we shall also see, thirdly, that there are two eternal destinies. I know it is very popular, the day in which we live, for men to say, whether they believe it or not, when they come to the end of this life, that's the finish. But it is not the finish. It is not the end. And recently I was sitting in a vestry, not my own, but I was sitting in a vestry and I turned the leaves of the hymn book. You know, we've got a hymn, 667, which is well known, Immortal Honours. But have you taken notice of the hymn that is before this? 666, I must confess, I don't think I had taken all that much notice of it until that particular day. And a verse in it, poor soul, what is thy hope? On what dost thou depend? Art thou a stranger still to Christ, the sinner's friend? Soon thou must leave thy all below, and then, oh then, what wilt thou do? Solemn, isn't it? It is. Before us there is an eternity. What a tremendous sound is eternity. I remember as a boy when mother used to read to us, and that word came in the reading. or the word everlasting. What does this mean? Oh, it's something that goes on and on and on, does not cease. We measure things here by time, don't we? There's no time in eternity. God has, I say, separated to himself a people. They are his own, and he alone knows who they are. For the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Yes, go on. What comes after that? Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I say there are some very deep truths in this chapter. Predestination. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? What can you say? What will you say? What shall I say to these things? Will you speak against them? Will you say these are hard things? There were those, you know, when the Lord Jesus was here, they found the things that he said hard things. They were offended, weren't they? Offended. They were offended at his coming, and they were offended at the manner of his coming, and they were offended at his teaching and the things that he said. He said, doth this offend you? Do these things offend you? And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That word means the right, the privilege, honour. What an honour, isn't it? To be made a child of God. To be raised up out of the depths, out of the pit, out of the miry clay. Out of that place in which you were found by nature. All men are there, aren't they, by nature? All born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And the Lord, in his mercy, comes down to that one and brings him out. A chosen vessel. One whom he has set his love upon, loved them from eternity, with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Drawn out of that place. Gathered out, lifted up, drawn unto himself. No man by nature will seek Christ, will he? No man by nature will want a knowledge of him. They say, we desire not the knowledge of his ways. Depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of his ways. Now, how is it then? How is it with you? or with our space, in all love and affection. You know, we have we're in a solemn position, aren't we? God's servants, his ministers, in a solemn position. I read, you know, an account, I think it was in an obituary, one of the obituaries in a magazine, some few years ago now, of a man who lived to a great age, and he was a deacon in one of our churches, a very godly, gracious man. And when he was about 16 or 17 years of age, he had, like a good many do, you know, been brought up in the to attend the house of God with his parents and gone off. But he had to one day take a message to one of our well-known ministers of former days. And he went to the house, and the minister received him in. And do you know what he said to him? You see, he had the burden of souls. And he said, young man, are you ready for eternity? And this young man had not given it a thought. He was young, and he thought, well, I've got many years before me. Are you ready for eternity? And you know, it so troubled him. He went home and he couldn't sleep. He thought about this more and more. Are you ready for eternity? And it brought him to this place, you know, to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. That was, the Lord used it. The Lord was working there. All things work together for good, don't they? Work together for good. Read the Word of God, and you say, it condemns me. Read that word which God has given, the law, and it condemns, doesn't it? Do you know the Apostle Paul speaks of the law as being our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ? There is, by the working of that word, the law, a conviction. The apostles, you know, in their day, they preached, didn't they? And they charged home upon the consciences of their hearers their sin. And the Lord did work a work in their midst. See, their consciences were pricked. Their hearts were pricked. Not just a little pricking sensation, but it was a thrusting through with the sword, as it were. Because the Word of God is likened to a two-edged sword, which divides asunder. It separates. The Lord uses his word, speaks by his word. A friend of mine many years ago, servant of God, he preached once, you know, from that word, Adam, where art thou? And there was a man in the congregation who was searched by that word. He was hiding. Hiding. Adam hid himself, didn't he? He had sinned. Before there was that sweet communion with God, walked with God. Now, you see, sin has caused a separation. We are descendants of Adam, and by that sin we are separated from God. God, who is holy and pure and just and cannot look upon sin, God, in his great mercy, has made a way whereby poor sinners can draw near to God, be reconciled to God. All things work together for good. And God sent his beloved Son into the world. God so loved. That's the word, isn't it? God so loved. I know it's an oft-quoted word. God so loved. But the emphasis is there, isn't it? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 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 Eternal life. All things we know, says the Apostle, and we know. What do we know? You know, it's a very popular expression in the day in which we live, isn't it? I know. You hear people say, I know. And some of them, you can't tell them a thing. They say, I know. But the dear apostle, now he could say this. Yes, and Job, in his day, in that far off day, he could say, couldn't he? I know. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Or, dear Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know. It's a great mercy, you know, if we can say this. I know. Because the Lord has revealed it, because the Lord has taught you, man will not know these things with a natural understanding, natural intelligence. Well, he may read a lot of books and he may fill his head with a lot of notions, but you know, real religion is more than notion. Real religion is something known and felt, isn't it? Real religion is something which is in the heart, wrought there by the Spirit. When the heart is touched, when the heart is softened, when the heart is moved, when the heart is drawn to Christ, and there's that feeling. That prayer in the heart which the spouse in the Song of Solomon prayed, draw me, we will run after thee. Draw me, Lord. And when one prays like that, surely they are being drawn already. The Lord has begun with them, hasn't he? Because the Lord is first, God is first, God begins. In the beginning, God. And if there is that love felt in my heart, surely it is God in the beginning who has put that there. And if you feel that love flowing out of your heart to him, it is because he has first loved you. We love him because he first loved us, says John. And God, I say, loves his people eternally and manifests his love to them. You know, he commends his love, doesn't he? He commends it. God commendeth his love to us, toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For me? For me? This is how one will come, you know. There won't be any presumption, will there? Or boasting, or pride. They will stand before the Lord and say, me, loved me. The dear apostle, you know, he speaks like this, doesn't he? Who loved me and gave himself for me. All things work together for good. They did for the apostle, didn't they? You see, he had much religion as a Pharisee, very proud of it, all of the flesh. And his heart was a bitter towards the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He held in his hands those letters of authority. But you know, the Lord met with him, didn't he? There was a time and a place. The appointed time rolls on apace, not proposed but called by grace. Change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. There was a turning, a complete turning, wasn't it? In the heart of Saul of Tarsus, the Lord did it. He was a chosen vessel, the word of God tells us. The dear man, you know, was brought right down, wasn't he? Emptied, stripped. Brought right down upon the earth and began to pray. Yes, he began to pray. No doubt he said many prayers before. Many prayers. But he began to pray there. Behold, he prayeth, said the word of God. Yes, you know what he prayed, don't you? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Thy will, Lord, thy will, not mine. Thy will, what wilt thou have me to do? Show me, Lord. Teach me. Lead me. Give me that grace. Make me willing to do thy will. You know, the Lord speaks of those things that Saul of Tarsus must suffer for his name. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And did he have an easy pathway? Was it a smooth, comfortable journey the apostle had? We read, don't we, that pathway, and it was appointed. Stripes, many stripes, stoning, imprisonment, shipwreck, opposition, persecution. Yes, all for the furtherance of the gospel. You see, it was to preach Christ and him crucified. This was his ministry. Christ Jesus crucified, died, laid in that tomb, rose again on the third day, was seen in his risen form, who at the appointed time ascended up on high, who is there now, who is at the right hand of God, who ever liveth to make intercession for those that come unto God by him. Great mercy this, you know. I believe I've been truly thankful for this, that the Lord Jesus is in heaven now, that he is at the right hand of God, that he is the one mediator between God and man, the one who intercedes. What is your pathway? Is it a pathway of trouble, perhaps affliction now, sorrow, distress, persecution? You know, the Lord knows. The Lord knows, doesn't he? Your present pathway, your things present with you. The Lord knew all about Job. He knew all about his pathway, didn't he? The Lord permitted Satan to go so far with, in the case of Job, and he lost his possessions, and he was bereft of his family, and his poor body was afflicted, and the adversary wasn't allowed to touch his life. He knoweth the way that I take, said Job. He knoweth. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. All things work together for good. Yes, and we can read about Job, and we can read about Joseph, can't we? And others. But they walked that pathway, you know. Dear Joseph, carried away, sold by his brethren, carried away. And falsely accused and cast into cast into the dungeon. His feet were held in irons till the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him many, many days. He was there. When, you know, he was appointed to that high position in the land, governor in Egypt, and his brethren came, They came as beggars, didn't they? They were beggars. Yes. And the governor gave to them. Joseph gave to them, didn't he? And you know, he saw to it that they would come back again. And the Lord will see to it that you come back again. Yes, you pray, you are in a difficulty, you are in some trouble, and you call upon him in the day of trouble. He hears and delivers you. Call upon me in the day of trouble. And I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That's the purpose, isn't it? That's the end, isn't it? Glorify God. All things work together for good. Going back to Joseph, what I was saying, you know, when his brethren were there with him. Yes, and he says, ye meant it for evil. Ye meant it for evil unto me. Those things you did to me, you meant them for evil. But the Lord meant it for good. For me and for you. The Lord saw to it that it was for good. Your good and my good. And these things were working together for good. We have in Joseph a type of the Lord Jesus, haven't we? And I said his brethren came and they had to come back again and again. And the Lord will see to it that you come back again. You have a throne of grace, the mercy seat. The child of God will not be absent from that place for very long. Have you grown hard? Have you wandered? Have you rebelled? Have you murmured? Have you complained? You say, yes, I have. Many times. I've got a little book at home that's written about a young lady going right back to the beginning of this century now. She died when she was 19. The typhoid fever. Do you know, I've read this book. What a gracious character. Bessie Barnes. What a gracious character. Well, of course, it will be said that the Lord was preparing her for her end. She was taken ill and died in a few days. Do you know, she was a children's nurse. She lived with a family and looked after the children. And there were times, you know, and there are times with children when things don't go too well. There are difficulties. And she was found, you know, in a wrong spirit. And when she had put the children to bed, she wrote up her diary. And in it she said, speaking to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I've been full of complaints today. I've murmured. I've been in a wrong spirit. Do forgive me." Now that's a right spirit, isn't it? That's all right spiritually. Repentance. Repentance toward God and faith in Jesus. All things work together for good because the Lord will bring his people there. I know we sing sometimes and it, you know, it's one thing to sing of these things. Daily I'd repent of sin. But you know, you can't work that in your own heart, can you? You can't give to yourself repentance, can you? And faith in Jesus Christ. You pray for it. Lord, do give me that right spirit. Do work that repentance in me. Because I want to be right. That's why. You want to be right. And you want to be found right, don't you? And you want to be right at the end. You don't want to have a name to live, do you? You don't want to just have a religion, a form of godliness. You want the real thing, don't you? You want the work of the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Searching words, aren't they? And you want that right spirit. You want to be found among the living family of God. Those people who are his, be joined with them, to walk with them. Like Ruth of old. You see, the Lord brought her out, didn't he? Brought her out of Moab. Led her along. She journeyed with her mother-in-law. Her mother in Israel was Naomi. And they journeyed together. They two went together, we read. Because they were joined together in the Spirit. And they sought the same things. And dear Ruth speaks, doesn't he? Doesn't she, to her mother-in-law and says, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. We read of in the Apostles' Day, and being let go, they went to their own company. No more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. With the Lord's people in his house, worshipping God. Worshipping God. Then came she and worshipped him and said, Oh Lord, help me. What is real worship? What is true worship? It's when the fear of God is in the heart, and when faith is there, and when the love of God is shed abroad in the heart by the Spirit, and when there is given that gracious humility before God. That's worship. And you know, it's when grace is given. And when grace is found in the heart, grace to serve God acceptably. For God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things working together for good. I say, your present pathway, what is it? You know, and the Lord knows, and is working together for good, your good. He will work his purposes out. Poor old Jacob, you know, in his day he said, all these things are against me. And they, you see, one thing after another. And he felt to be crushed by these things. But the Lord, you know, doesn't crush his people right down, does he? Like that. He was crushed. Oh yes. He trod the winepress alone. The olive, which was bruised. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. If my Lord suffer, shall I repine? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, to them that love God. Now in the exercise of the heart will be this that rises up now, do I love him? Am I among this people that love God? Well now, when the Lord Jesus was here, there were those who were offended and they went off and they walked no more with him. And Jesus turned to the others and he said, will ye also go away? And does Satan tempt you to give up and call no more on Jesus' name? He will. Satan does tempt, you know. To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now you'll be like Ruth, entreat me not to leave thee. You'll not go. There will be a cleaving. There's a beautiful word in it. Ruth clave, you know. There's a cleaving, isn't there? May the Lord bless his holy word to us and pardon that which is pure I see amiss for his name's sake. Amen.